Mr. Corden, Reel 5, we were talking about your time and how you used to manage to stay out of barracks, sleep out.
Yes, yeah. And as I say, I dropped off at Darnley, went up to the house, so I could come down with the other lads from the billets, so that only those five knew I was sleeping out.
I meant billets, not barracks, yes, sorry.
Billets, yes.
So how long were you in Leeds on this practical course?
I think it was about 3 months. I think it was 3 months in each case, or within 3 months. But there was another fortnight, at least another fortnight, after the wife went back. Because the week after the wife went back, I had spots in one or two places, funny places as well, and I was telling out the old lady at the, well, I was talking at the breakfast table, and the old lady heard me. Oh, she said, I know what that is. Scabies. Let's have a look. Well, she, I showed her the spot, I think it was a couple under my arms, but it showed others that were on private parts. You have to M.O., she said, Jeannie walk right rigmarole. You have to M.O., Jeannie walk what it were. And we sort things out from there. So I went, reported sick, went to M.O., finished up in Jimmy's at Leeds, which is Jimmy's now. I forget what we called him, probably all military then. We were Jimmy's anyway, for the section of it. And I'd got scabies, of all things, a week after getting married. Anyway, I was treated, which was the sulphur rubbed on your body, and then go in a shower, a warm shower, which brought the sulphur out and burnt whatever was causing the itching and sores. It was a little grub in your skin, and that's the only thing that killed it in those days, was sulphur baths. Well, mine was minor at side of some, I saw some terrible cases there, but I was allowed home because I would have to go straight back, and if I had any more affection, I'd have to come back straight away without reporting sick. But anyway, I had no occasion to. And my itching had gone within 2 or 3 days, and the spots had gone and everything. But when I got back, this old lady, she knew what to do. All the bedding, mine and the other five, and the other four, had all been whipped, because they were army blankets, you see. I mean, they provided bedding for us through her, you see. And they were all taken, she'd done all that, she'd rung them up, and it's all been changed when I got back, all new blankets. No sheets, of course, didn't have the sheets. All new blankets. So she knew the ropes all right.
So did you pass? You passed the course, didn't
anyway,
you?
Anyway, I think it was a week after I'd got better that we finished the course, and we all got our results, and I passed the course, and I got my hammer and sickle badge.
And that meant you were a fitter?
That meant I was a fully blown MB fitter. MB fitter. Motor vehicle fitter. And mind you, quite a big course, 9 months.
And were they still at Gloucester, the 88th?
No. So anyway, we all had our travel warrant given. We had a 14 days, or it was 7 days, it was 7 days pass. 7 days pass given. And a travel warrant from our own town to the destination where we'd left. Everybody had the same. I tried to tell him this. He says, look, you obey what it says on there, Newport. And if any trouble, Newport NTO, that's the MPs at the station, military police at the station. And so I said, well, I don't know where I'm going to go from there. Well, on the way down, we always change at Gloucester to go to Newport. So I made sure I got this train early enough so I could have a couple of hours at Gloucester. So I went and visited these people I was visiting with, Mr. and Mrs. Townsend, his lad, and their lad. And then got the last train to Newport. Purposely, because I knew they've got to keep me at Newport. I won't have no chance to ship me back at night. So anyway, I went to Newport, went to the MP's office straight away. And I thought, well, we can't do anything at this time of night. You bed yourself down in there, so they put me in one of the rooms on platform in their office and bedded down. So now the next morning, they took me to the breakfast. And of course, it was that they contacted infantry records somewhere to find out what to do with me. Well, they had to ring back the next day. They got, oh, contact us next day, or we'll contact you, you know, we'll contact you. So I says, now what are you going to do with me then? I says, if you want to get rid of me, I've got somewhere I can go for the rest of the day. Or I said, if you want me back tonight, I'll come tonight. If you want to come tomorrow morning, I'll come back tomorrow morning. Oh, you come back tomorrow morning, there's plenty of time, because we shan't get no information until tonight or tomorrow morning. So, of course, I went to Mr. and Mrs. Thomas. Stayed there. And because they were more than pleased to see me, apparently. Got back to the station next morning. Had to report to... Wallace Barracks, that's it. I said, oh, report to Wallace Barracks. Well, I think I was at Woolwich quite a long time. Because...
That was July 41 you got there, I think.
Yeah, July 41, that's right, just enough to be married. July 41. I went into the fire service there, because we were all put in barracks. We had to just wait and report on parade every morning. And then eventually...
What did you do in the fire service, the fire brigade there?
In the fire brigade.
Just the barrack fire brigade.
And we used to be doing drills, parades on, you know, normal parades, like they do in barracks. And then we after the first morning parade, and I was going to parade and all that, everybody went to the place that we didn't allocate it. We went to the fire station and we started our own fire drills and all that. And but it was 3:30, 4:00 every day, unless you were on guard duty or fire duty. But unfortunately, I think it was from the water, I got a skin disease. Nothing like the scabies, just scabs on my arms here. And up front of my legs, up front of my thighs, and under. Anyway, I reported sick, of course, I was taken out of the fire, because they said it was something from the water. Well, I was treated with Vaseline, putting Vaseline on. And then light lint over, so to keep it off my clothes. Because the doctor said he wanted fresh air. If you couldn't have a fresh air, he couldn't walk about with a sleeve again, could you? And he could put his sleeves down, he was stuck to his sleeves. So I had to put lint on, and then I had to put my battle dress jacket down. Well, that went on so long. Then he changed to Wakefield oil, which is very much like Vaseline, only stronger. That didn't alter anything at all, it was still wet, wouldn't dry up. They put me on calamine lotion, which is the one that you dab on with, you know, powdering water, isn't it? And that was to dry it. And that didn't do anything. So I was sent to a hospital, I think it was Shooter's Hill, a hospital, a civilian hospital with the military people there as well. And this was after 5 or 6 weeks. And he gave me a bottle of, well, I think we call it blue unction. It's that stuff that you paint on your skin, it's there to wash it down. Well, he painted it on, this medical orderly. Painted on my arms, the thighs, and under my arms. And gave me another bottle with a brush. He says, that was doing every day with that, and this bottle and brush, keep it in the medical room, go there and do it, and don't let anybody else use that brush. Of course, I went back to Woolwich and did all that. And in the meantime, I got a job to finish this treatment. And it's only then that it started drying a little. And in the meantime, I'd arranged, because I couldn't go on my leave, so I arranged with my wife. She did what they call the winter holidays in October. Came down to us, and through these church people, we got these with a man and woman. What were they in all at once? But anyway, they fitted us up with the bed, and like the cartoon, she was big and fat, and he was little and weedy. And they were such a loving couple, and so homely. Anyway, I told him, I said, look, I says, wife's coming down there. Down tomorrow, I meet her. I said, but look at my state, I showed her in the arms. I said, what's going to be all back? Don't be like, don't worry about that, lad. Don't worry about ducks. Don't worry about that, ducks. Be all right. Anyway, wife came down, stopped 10 days. And at that time, I got a job in the telephone exchange. There was four of us operating the telephone exchange. And it was 6 to 2, 2 to 10. And one extra, 9 to 4. Because there's more work during the daytime. The simple reason at that time was writing messages. It was telephone and writing messages for all officials. Well, this is good stuff, this. Using the old army print drawings, I mean, a bit ancient, this. So we got two or three telephones spare in the room, so I went round for the rooms at night when sergeant majors weren't in. And I noticed they'd all got telephone plugs in. We were on a switchboard using one single phone, writing messages for sergeant major and CO and all that, and they all got telephones in, so I got my head working, and I found out all these phones were working order, and I found out their lines were all in working order. I don't know why they've been taken out, but I put them all back in these sergeant major's offices, and asked them if we could use them anytime messages come. So I told them what was happening. Oh my goodness, yes, sure you can. And CO did, he agreed as well. And so after that, it was pressing the buttons and plugging in. You know, it's the news of plugging in instead of writing messages. Well, and then when the wife came down, because we used to work shifts, when the wife came down, these other lads decided I could be working nights and days. Look, Sam, when the wife comes down, 5 on days, you can have my day shift. Come in at 9 till 4. He says, and I'll do whatever shift you're on. And that's how it is. I came in. Wife came down. I went to sleep an hour past. And I came at 9 o'clock. So half past 4 or 4 o'clock. Wife used to, if we went into the city, wife used to come up to barracks, wait outside on the road, and to go out and catch a tram into town, into city. And that's how we got over that week. But anyway, that blue junction, within 2 weeks, his cars had gone, everything had gone. All I got to wash off is the paint blue that was still to me about 3 months to wash that up. But it cured me, that blue option, after all that time. 11 weeks I suffered with that.
Hey, you were waiting a long time at the barracks, ain't
you? I was there a long, long time.
So I think...
Anyway, it came one day. Oh, I went inquiring. I said, have you any information about me? I said, somebody forgot to look any further about it, so they started all again. Well, they sent me back to Newport again.
That's in January, I think, 42.
That's right. They sent me to Newport again. Well, I knew what was going to happen, so I went, because I knew the place, I knew I could. So I went, and they come again. Oh, well, it weren't the same people. I told them what had happened. Well, those are all good, the same again. I said, anyway, Can I go and have a wander out and visit my friends while you sort it all out and I come back for tea time? By all means, you can, yes. So I went to Thomas's, because I got there early this time. And I got back into the station about 4:30. And they got the information. I'd got to go to report to this regiment at Gloucester. Well, when I got the papers, it was 58th Heavy Attack. And they were at a place at Gloucester where I'd left.
This is a Kent battle. They were from Kent, weren't they?
58th Kent Heavy Attack Regiment. And that was the start of my 58th Heavy Attack Kent Regiment. And what's the attack sent me? The adjutant. And he said, well, we'll keep you for a couple of days while we find out. So, I mean, they got on my papers at 88th at Gloucester. Well, I knew I told the adjutant that the 88th was in the Middle East. But anyway, he said, well, we've got to keep you here till we find out from where office, or somewhere from some office, the director's office, what to do. So he put me with some lads, with empty section lads, because that's what it was. And within 2 or 3 days, he placed me into the office, the president. He didn't go through a normal sergeant of clerk, he placed me into his office. He said, look, So I'm pitching you in and telling you yourself now, seeing it going around through the usual channels. I've had a word with the colonel. We are still short of one fitter on our HQ. Where's the gun fitter? He said, we're still short. At this stage, you're a fitter, and that's it. You'll fit our requirements. So we've made it all right with the records office, and you're now with the 858 heavy RHQ. And from then on it was. And
did you mind?
Pardon?
Did you mind?
Well, I didn't mind. As long as somewhere, somewhere. And eventually they were picking their transport up then. They hadn't much transport then. And that's the start of the very, very beginning, as I thought in my mind, of the African campaign starting. Because we started picking up vehicles and things like that. And eventually, I got my vehicle at Manchester. But first off, I was given the water carrier and a vehicle, just the driver had gone after without leave or something. So I was given the 1500 weight that pulled the water tank. Every regiment had a water tank, and every battery had a water tank, because you could never guarantee any water wherever you went. So from there, eventually, we went up to Manchester, to a place called Shelton Tawari. And I took the lorry and the water tank. That was my first introduction into 58. And the quartermaster was an old bugle boy. He'd come up from the ranks. And he was one of us rather than one officer. He'd rather be with us than be with officers. That's how he felt. Anyway, he was a quartermaster. Because he was my boss. He was my direct chief. The quartermaster. I come under the store spider. HQ. And when we got to Shelton Tawari, was in a football field of some description, and another railway line to Sheffield up on the embankment. We were all in camp on the canvas there. And after two or three days, the quartermaster said, I found a place for your garage, for your workshop. There was a garage about half a mile down the road. A lady had this garage. She knew husband. Her son was in Navy and was killed on the first ship that went down in Channel. And she looked after us, and because we looked after her in the garage. And just when she was in the garage, we used to pester her for her when she was in the house across the road. She wasn't doing pester, she wasn't doing anything else. And so we had the rest of the garage to work for our repair shop and everything. And all the tyres was all stacked up, and everything was the quartermaster brought down and emptied all the vehicles. We didn't know how long we were going to be there. And I think we were there about 6 weeks. And that, there again, that's why I say that it was talked about mobilisation, because the quartermaster, he came to me one day, he said, look, Sam, he says, we're moving very shortly, and I'm going to get all the surplus equipment. He says, all those tyres and everything are surplus. So we've got to get rid of all those, and it was to be getting new boxes of spare parts, because the spare parts that we got was, I think it's all been used and put back, but they're all rubbish that we got left. He said, we'll be getting all new stuff. Well, I think we went to Leeds, got the stuff, this vehicle, and got my workshop lorry. And when we got it, I had to put up with what it was. It was a lorry used particularly for charging batteries. For the predictors and guns, they all had batteries, you see. And for charging them, and some searchlight crew had batteries as well. But I had to make best of it for the lorry, for the workshop lorry. Well, I really had to pull that up and go through. But the stores, I didn't carry the stores. The stores we kept in the quartermaster's stores in lovely great big boxes, all set up, right down to the screw, last screw, and a lot of things. Different vehicles. Some we hadn't got, some vehicles we hadn't got, but mostly the vehicles we got was in there. Because, I mean, I think you must have applied for what vehicles you got here, applied for spares to suit them. And we carried them right through the rest of water with this family, but not that tackle. We went to, from there, we went to in the Scotland, how he's played in Liverpool first.
In here, it's Pool U or something.
Pool U. That's right. That was the first place we went to.
That's on Loch Maree.
Right, at Loch Maree. In Scotland. And, of course, it was, I still kept with the RHQ. I was one of them. And, did we go to Glasgow first, to Dumbarton?
I don't know.
No, we didn't. Anyway, we were at Pool U. That's right, we went to Pool U at first. And that's where there was a big garrison theatre on the RHQ side, with no guns there, but it was the only place where they could put a big garrison theatre, and it was sheltered with the Hermanties, I think, one night. The guns were all spread out around there, because at Pool U, the next place was a naval base, trying to get a name, naval base where all the ships taking supplies to Russia, the convoys collected there, and the naval ships went out of this base and took them to Russia, to our Arctic Circle, to Russia. And that's why we were there, to protect the Navy dockyard there and everything. And that was a naval place. I think it's still going, that naval place. That was a naval place that was put specifically for the transport into supplies to Russia. In those days, it wasn't just to Russia. It did to us anyway. But anyway, I was there at Easter, because at Easter I was on the hillside on the side of the mouth of the river, watching salmon come up out of the sea into Loch Maree. And I sat there and wrote 8 pages to my brother, of all people, not to my wife, to my brother. He thought I would happen again. It was so nice, and I got so enraptured with what was going on, and enjoyed it there, because the weather was lovely. We hardly had any rain all the 5 or 6 weeks we were there. We arranged dances in this nook. They went round all villages, covered about 20 miles, picking all girls up from villages. Of course, they couldn't get on lorries picking up these girls. They'd not seen any lads or men for ages, because they're only girls and all men in village. So it was also, we're getting partners for dancers. We had 2 dancers there. We had 1 theatre show there. And one of my drivers was an actor in the opera. And he sang on there. He would never sing any other time, but he sang on there. And he brought Mickey Mouse down. And he was same as this. He was gay. Turned out eventually. But anyway, we lost him soon after that. He wasn't fit for abroad, and he got to medical to take us somewhere else. Wasn't fit for abroad anyway. But we started, that was our start of mobilising for Africa. And after that session, we came down to Leeds, I think it was.
It says here, yeah.
Is it? To Leeds. And I think I came on from Leeds. We came to Leeds. I just forget what we did at Leeds, but then we went up, then we went back with the Glasgow to Dumbarton.
It's Wick Township.
Wick Township. We went to Wick Township from there. And from there, I remember I took my lorry full of supplies, quartermaster supplies, my tools and everything, and took it down to, this was in first week in August, took it down to Birkenhead. Places, and my co-driver, because we had to have a co-driver for this trip, and all, it was more than my lorry went, but I had set up at a certain time, leave this place in Wick Township, at a certain time I got to go to the first destination a certain time, then through Carlisle a certain time, and I got to get to Birkenhead. I remember Birkenhead, 4 o'clock the next day, I'd be at Birkenhead. Anyway, leaving Carlisle, we took wrong turning. We think there was no signpost. We got a map, but with no signpost, and I was driving at 2 times this place. I think we'll take this little flat here that goes because it's going back to the coast. We won't go there yet. Anyway, that was the other road, was the right one, we took the wrong one. We finished up in the village, breakfast time, at about 7:45, something like that. Pulled up the shop, newspaper shop, so we get a paper here, find out where we are. And we was at, can't remember the name of the village now. Set up, which, incidentally, was about 6 miles from where my sister-in-law lived. So I said, all right, here. We'll have something to eat. I said, then we know where we're going. We're going to the sister-in-law's. We got 2 or 3 hours to spare, then we knew where we were. So we'll spend it there. So we had a break to this little shop. Then drove into towards Skipton. And at Gargrave, they lived in a farmhouse, where it was rented, this farmhouse. And there was a big wide entry with this little lamp with the car classes. And we checked, we could just get lorry in there. It runs off the road, you see. So we reversed this lorry in there. And I remember as plain as day, seeing my nephew, me niece's son, I should say, looking at the window, and I heard his voice say, "Mum, there's an army lorry coming in our courtyard." Then he come back again, he saw me then. He went back and I didn't shout, "Me Uncle Sam!" So anyway, we parked lorry, so we get into the door of the house. And they were flabbergasted. Explained, "Oh, it's great." He thought it was great, he'd be about 8 then. So we stopped there, then took the time to leave. We left there. This young fella knew how long it would take us to get to Birkenhead. No traffic on the road in them days. He says, "We can be in Birkenhead for 4:30. Easy, if we leave here about 4:30. Dead easy." Which we did. We got in Birkenhead, went through the tunnel, Birkenhead. And we thought we were only vehicles going there, you see. And when we get to Birkenhead Park, the park itself was chock a block with army vehicles. Well, a soldier had jumped an hour on his board to take us to a place where to park, so that they knew where we were when they walked us down the docks. Well, eventually we got on, went to docks each day, then drove back again till they were ready to put us on. And we got to put on the boat, so fourth day. So one thing I never remember the name of that boat. All I know, it was about 2,000 ton, a little boat. But we didn't think nothing of it at the time. We went back to Wick Township, to Port William, that's the name of the place. And there we stayed. Went from there to
Bowling.
Where?
Bowling, west of Glasgow.
Right. Bowling outside Glasgow. That's right, Bowling outside Glasgow. Had no vehicle, and the guns were still there. The guns were on top of the hill, like they usually were. And we all had a day out. We were all, so we could have a day out. All, I mean, we could get on the lorry to Ellensborough, which is the nearest little seaside place. Well, we went there on the lorry as usual. The lorry dropped us off on the promenade at Touch. Only us, nobody else around, only it was about 40 soldiers. All our HQ set in their camp, didn't leave in the camp. And we got sat on the sea wall, and my pal, well, the man that sat aside of me, got some sand in his eye. And that turned out to be Jeff Brown. I got the sand out of his eye. And from then on, to lead eye, he was my best pal. Rest of his life.